Well, hello again. I'm glad to be with you again today in continuing our teaching from the article section of the website. And I was intending to go on to the very next lesson, but I kept getting this little check in my spirit, like, you know, there's something the Lord wanted to do. And this lesson that we're going to teach today is not in the articles section of the website. We may put it in there now because I just really felt like the Lord was wanting me to clarify some things before we go any farther into this. Today's lesson is called The Ministry of Helps. I would also maybe call it the Gospel. A subheading might be the Gospel Entrepreneur. But let's talk about the Ministry of Helps today. Let me get my notes here. I'm having a little coffee. It's early in the morning. Got to lubricate the pipes, you know. All right. Let's start off like this. The Ministry of Helps, or the Gospel Entrepreneur, is a person who is called of God to make money for the use in the kingdom of God. Now, it's listed and it's contained within the ministry gifts that Paul lists in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So if you want to look at that, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28. Very familiar passage. We're all very familiar with the first ones that he talks about, but not so much with the rest of it. So 1 Corinthians 12, 28. And God, notice God, hath set. Who did it? Who set them? God did. God hath set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles, gifts of healing. Now notice the next one, helps. Then governments, and diversities of tongues. There's all kinds of books that you can get about the apostle and the prophet and the teacher. And actually, when he says here, miracles and gifts of healings, really you're talking about evangelists and pastor's anointings pretty much there. But then he mentions helps and governments and diversities of tongues. There's major teachings on all of that. Let's talk today about helps. Now notice it is listed right equal in the same list as apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers, and evangelists. It's a calling. And God sets helps in the body the same way he sets apostles and prophets and so forth. So anyway, let me stay with my notes here pretty good. We'll have this PDF available along with this teaching here. But the Greek word translated helps in that verse is, if you look it up in Strong's, it's not going to help you much, I'll tell you, but it's Strong's number G484. The Greek word is antilepsis, antilepsis. And in Strong's, the definition is just relief or help, okay? Well, that doesn't do much to help explain the ministry of helps, does it? Now, but do notice that this is a calling just as much as the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. It's a calling right along with those. See, you can't be an apostle without God co-laboring with you. You can't be a prophet without God co-laboring with you. You can't really be in the ministry of helps without God co-laboring with you. See, this is something that it's a calling. There's a training and an anointing, and it's just hardly ever taught in the body of Christ. And I don't know why. There's a lot, like, again, you could spend the rest of your days reading all the books that's been written about the ministry of the apostle and the prophet and the teacher and the pastor and evangelist, but you're going to be hard pressed to go, where's your section on helps? Where is that? What? So, anyway. So, what kind of helps is being referred to here? Is he talking about just like giving a cup of cold water? Well, that's a good help. You know, if somebody's thirsty, Jesus said you couldn't give a prophet even a cup of cold water and lose your reward. I mean, it's good to help like that. Feeding the hungry, that's a good help. Clothing the naked, that's a good help. All of those things help. It's just not what he's talking about here. All of those things are forms of help. But this word, antilepsis, was used in a particular way during the lifetime of Paul when this letter was written to the Corinthians. That word was, when they used this word, antilepsis, it meant something specific. Now, you have to go a little deeper than Strong's on this one, okay? So if you go to the complete biblical library, how detailed is that? Well, just the New Testament portion is 16 volumes. Most of us have a, nowadays you have Strong's on your phone probably. But out in my library here, I've got the old Strong's book. It's thick, like an old-time dictionary, but it's thick, but it's just one volume. That's the Strong's. Well, this complete biblical library goes into such detail. Just the New Testament portion is 16 volumes. So if you look it up in that book, it says this. So according to the complete biblical library, here's the definition of the ministry of helps. Quote, those with gifts of helps are not necessarily people in positions of authority. Instead, they are individuals with resources which others lack. The gift of helps, therefore, involves the giving and the sharing of those resources. Now, let's look at this by two or three witnesses. Let's look at another definition. If you go to the AMG Expanded Greek Lexicon, the literal definition of antilepsis is, quote, the receiving of remuneration for the purpose of rendering help or assistance. I'm a college graduate, but I still had to look up remuneration. I wasn't sure what that meant. Remuneration, okay. So just look it up in a standard dictionary. It means, remuneration means money paid or received for work or a service. Money paid or received for work or a service. Now listen, to some extent, all Christians do this. All of us work jobs. And some of us are homemakers, so your husband can work a job. One way or another, all of us are involved to cause money to come into the house, okay? So I'm going to read it like I wrote it. All of us work jobs or have businesses or do investments or do something. Even if your something is helping your spouse make a living, that's still a part of it. But all of us do that that provides labor or provides some kind of a service. And we receive money for our efforts. And we all place, all of us as good stewards, good Christians, we place a portion of that money into the work of the gospel by giving, you know, perhaps giving to your local church through tithes and offerings, supporting orphanages maybe, giving to other ministry outreaches of all kinds, might be evangelistic, might be something else. Sue and I, we give to several orphanages every month. Man, these pages stick together sometimes. Sue and I give to several orphanages. We support several things. What I'm saying is we all to some degree do this. We're making a living somehow, and of that money that comes in, all of us support the work of the kingdom of God. Okay. Giving to the poor, giving to your church, supporting an orphanage, maybe supporting an evangelistic outreach, something. See, and all of us are called to be good stewards of the money that the Lord sends us. We're not teaching really on stewardship today. Okay? But see, the true ministry of helps, or what I'm calling a gospel entrepreneur, I first heard that phrase from Pastor Dave Roberson, by the way. He's the one that coined the phrase gospel entrepreneur. It's actually the ministry of helps. And it is a ministry calling, again, in the same category as apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, so forth. Helps. Governments. But helps is a ministry calling. Now, what most people don't know is that Jesus taught specifically on this calling in several places in the New Testament. Now today we're going to just look at one of those teachings. I have no idea if he's going to have me teach on the rest of them in this fashion or not. This one, I'm calling it Stewarding the Pound. That's what I've always called it, Stewarding the Pound. Now I'm going to read the whole thing because I'm going to ask the question here a little later. When was the last time you heard this passage taught in church? And I don't know why it isn't. I mean, it's Jesus teaching this. And it's red letters in my Bible. So go to Luke chapter 19, and we're going to look at verses 12 through 27. And I'm just going to read it. It's good for us. Sometimes it's good just to hear the Word of God. This is the Master. This is our Lord Jesus Himself teaching. And He's teaching specifically about this ministry of helps, even though it's not called that. You can tell that's what it is. He's teaching on it. And, okay, we'll just read it together here. Luke 19, and of course I'm reading out of the King James. Luke 19, verses 12 through 27. He said, therefore, this is Jesus speaking, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. I'm really glad he's going to return. But anyway, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds. Now, pounds just means it was a measurement of money. It was very common in that day. Today, he would use a more common term for us. But let's just stay with this. It's just a measurement of money. He gave them a certain amount of money. So he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds, and he said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Now, that word trading is important. If you look it up, it literally means commerce. It means business. It could be investing. It could be owning a business. But it means some sort of business increase, commerce. Okay. How much they had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. Notice there's promotion for faithfulness. Okay. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou did not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money unto the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury, just means interest. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Doesn't end well, does it, for those people? Now, just so you'll know, in case you're not aware, I already have at the website, and it's been there a long time, a 6-part series on this subject, where I teach on it in great detail. There's 6 audio lessons there. It is titled Stewarding the Pound. And if you're not familiar, You go to the homepage, garycarpenter.org. On the left side, it says Media. Click there. Then click on Kingdom Finances. And there's a whole list of different series there. One of them is titled Stewarding the Pound. And there's in great detail, I teach on this passage if you want to know more about it. Now, today, the Lord wants me to kind of do an overview, what I call a macro mode, macro mode of teaching, because he wants you to understand this ministry of helps. First of all, here's where I ask that question. When was the last time that you heard this passage taught in a church service? I know I grew up in church. You know, I've told you my mom and dad were really faithful, even though we moved to a new city about every 6 months during my growing up years. They were very faithful. They'd find a church, and we'd be there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and every night if they were having an evangelistic outreach or something. So I grew up in church. I've heard hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of messages. I don't remember ever once hearing this passage mentioned. But if it was ever mentioned, it was sort of spiritualized. What I mean is they would say, well, this is the ministry of helps, you know, like helping the sick, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, and all of that type of thing. Trouble of it is, if you look up the strict definition of that word, antalepsis, that's not what it means. It specifically is talking about money. And Jesus, in this parable, is talking about money. You know, I believe we should always take the word literally when we can. And we certainly can. This is a calling, just like again, I'm going to keep saying it, on the same category, apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, helps. Helps. This is a calling. There are people called to do this, that God is going to co-labor with you to go out into the world of mammon and conquer like David did. You know, I'm thinking about David. He wanted to build God a temple. He wanted to build God a house. And God says, no, your son is going to build me the house, you know, because you're a man of blood. Your son is going to build my house. So you know what David did? He said, okay, well, maybe I can't build a house, but I can certainly pay for it. He goes out and he conquers in these kingdoms and brings the money in. Doesn't use it for himself. He lays all of this up, not money and resources and wood and they quarried out stones and I don't know what all, but he provided the money for the resources for Solomon to use in order to build the temple. It's, to me, it's one of the early types and shadows of a true gospel entrepreneur. He went out and conquered and made money, not for his own use. He brought that money in for the use to build God's house. That is a gospel entrepreneur. Ooh, if you've got it in your heart to give big money into the kingdom, you tuned into the right message. Glory to God. I'm going to read that passage, so I don't want to leave anything out. This is so important, and we got plenty of time today, I think. So I'm just going to read this paragraph. Bear with me. First of all, when was the last time you heard this taught in any church in a literal way? Most do not teach it as being literally a calling to make money to be used for the kingdom of God. Most spiritualize it. And they say that it's speaking of using your gifts and talents to expand the kingdom of God. Well, I hate to say almost like duh. I mean... Yes, I mean, that's like Christianity 101, where we're all supposed to use whatever our gifts and our talents are to expand the kingdom of God. But he is teaching here specifically about taking a amount of money to cause it to increase by trading and bringing it back for the use of the kingdom. It goes to the Lord. Okay. So I read... This is a specific calling in the same category as the apostle, prophet, and so forth. It is the ministry of helps, the receiving of money through various endeavors to be used for the purposes of the kingdom of God. Jesus is literally teaching how this ministry gift is to function and how it's not to function. Now, let's take a macro look just for a minute, just a macro look. What I mean by macro, listen, if you want detail, get into that six-part audio teaching. We go into a lot of detail. But macro. Let's back off. Let's look at the overall things that we can learn from this parable. Really foundational stuff. It's so important if you're going to handle wealth for the kingdom. Number one, this is so important. Please read it again or look at it again and notice all of the money gained and also the original pound, the original principle, we would call it in capitalism, the original principle, the money, that pound and all that was gained, all of it, was given back to the Lord. How much of it was yours? That's called zero, zip, nada, nothing. This teaching that Jesus gives here is not about meeting your needs. This is about a ministry calling of helps to meet the needs of the kingdom of God. Look at it yourself. Go back and look at it again. Lord, thy pound, he's giving him back, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. Okay? He's giving it all back to the Lord. He didn't use any of it for his personal needs. This is a totally separate thing. This is his calling. This is what he does in the ministry of helps. This is what he has been called to do in the kingdom of God. All of the money gained and the original principle belongs to the Lord. Okay? This teaching is not about meeting your needs. This teaching is about a calling that meets the needs, financial needs, of the kingdom of God. Now, the people who did it correctly kept none of this money for themselves. They didn't eat out of this money. This is not bread for eating. This is seed for sowing, okay? God's increasing their seed for sowing. This has nothing to do with their bread for eating. I hope you listened to last week's message. I think it was 2 weeks ago where I talked about harvesting for the Father. That he multiplies your seed sown and increases your, you know, but this is not about your bread for eating. This is about increasing your seed for sowing. And you're sowing it all. You're giving it all back to the Lord. Now, I'm going to say it again. The people who did it correctly, the first guy and the second guy in this story, they didn't keep any of it for themselves. This has nothing to do with their personal provision. See, really, this is an example of the servants that Jesus talked about in Luke chapter 17, verses 7 through 10. See, I hope you're listening to these messages in sequence because we taught on this quite a while ago. This is the conclusion of that whole passage, Luke chapter 15, verse 1, all the way through Luke chapter 17, verse 10. Quite a while back, we taught on that. We're laying the foundation for this lesson. See, this, let's read it again. Let's read it. Luke 17. Today we'll just do verses 7 through 10. Which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, in other words, you're just going out to do, it'd be like that family farm thing, you know, everybody's got assignments to do. Which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he's come in from the fields, well, go and sit down to eat. And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me, till I have eaten and drinking. In other words, until all my needs are met. Whew. Chills. And afterward, then thou shalt eat and drink. Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. I don't think so. So likewise you, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, this is what you're to say. We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. Now again, I hope you have heard those previous lessons. I got to summarize it in case you didn't. He's not saying you're unprofitable like a slimy dog worm or something. You know, like religion will just say you're just an old worm. No, you're a child of God. You are profitable to the kingdom. What he's talking about here, you're not doing this for personal profit. It's exactly like the other analogy that he gave me from my grandfather's farm, where every morning everybody gathers around the breakfast table and they're all family and everybody eats to the full. But they all have assignments during the day, you know, men and women. The little boys, maybe that little boy's job all day today is ride right next to Grandpa, you know, as they're running the combine. His only job is to be company to Grandpa. That's great. But little older son, his job is to make sure the wheels are greased. Little older son, maybe he's running the tractor or plowing or running the dump truck. Or, in other words, and the women, dear Lord, there's so much work to be done. Are you kidding? The all of the crops have to be harvested and canned and processed and dinner prepared so there's food ready when the men come in from the fields and there's laundry to, I mean, it's all this work. There's lots of work. Everybody has a job on that farm. But when they come in to eat, they know it's a family business. They know that all of the increase is for the father. It's his farm. We're the children, you know. Well, what about us? Oh, we get to eat at Father's dinner table. I'm not going to do it again too much, but I remember my grandfather's farm. Oh, I'd love going there. And man, I mean, there was 12 kids, okay? That big old table, when it was loaded, fried chicken, and usually there was some kind of steak. There was beef, either roast beef or something there, mashed potatoes and gravy and the green beans and the corn on the cob, that just so juicy you bite into it and that just, then it, oh. Grandma would make biscuits about an inch and a half thick, big as the palm of your hand. You slice that open and that steam would be coming up. You lather it with that churned butter, pour a little molasses. Son, you done gone to heaven. But see, everybody ate to the full, and it had nothing to do with what their assignment was. It didn't matter how much they sowed, how much they reaped, or whether they just greased the wheels or rode on the seat next to Grandpa. Everybody ate to the full from the dinner table of His grace. There's a difference between your provision, what you eat, and what you do. This pound. Okay, in the servant's case here, see, he says, which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle? He's just saying when they go out to do what they're called to do. Well, this teaching, this ministry of helps, what they are called to do is go out into the field. I'm going to say the realm of mammon, okay, the business world, even if it's just a simple job. Or, well, a gospel entrepreneur would be more than that. He would either have a business, he would, well, anyway, we'll get into more detail on that later. But in this analogy, a ministry of helps person goes out into the fields, and his job is to cause increase of money and bring that back in as a harvest for the family business or for the master. Notice he says, no, you don't sit down to eat until after all my needs are met. Well, in other words, in this, when he's teaching in more detail here in this parable of the pound, how was all the needs of the master met? Well, you gave it all to him. It had nothing to do with it. Then you can go down and eat. It's exactly the same situation as the family farm. We went out into the field, we took money, we caused an increase of money. Lord, we're coming in, we're meeting your needs first. Here's the money here's your pound and the increase of your pound. It's all for you. Is there anything else we can do for you? No, I'm satisfied. You can go eat now. Go sit down at the dinner table. Glory to God, it just perfectly fits. Perfectly fits. All right. Now, it's obvious how to do it wrong. You see, there was one person in this parable that he did it wrong. Okay, still early. Lubricate the pipes, let's say that. See, the problem with that servant who didn't do anything, the Lord gave him money, and he didn't do anything with it. For years, I thought it was because he was afraid he'd lose the money, but that's not at all what he said. In fact, tell you what, let's back up to his portion where he speaks, verse 20. This is Luke 19:20. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Now notice what he says here. Well, in the King James it says, thou takest up that thou laidest not down, and reapest that thou did not sow. What he's saying is, you intend for me to do all the work, to go out here and cause, to take this money that you gave me, and go out here and do work, and invest, and do business, and do all, and work hard, and cause increase, and so now I have your original pound and the increase. I did all the work, and you're going to keep all the money? This man has no heart to be a gospel entrepreneur. He has no heart to be in the ministry of helps at all. Plain language, he's saying, if there's no profit in it for me, I am not interested in doing it. Now you know why Jesus said in Luke 17, verses 7 through 10, you have to have the attitude. If you're going to serve God and not money, especially in this ministry of helps, you cannot do it with the motive of personal profit. You cannot do it with the motive of personal profit. My goodness. Now, I don't have this in the lesson today, but I'm seeing this vision. It's an old teaching of mine that he showed me years ago, but apparently he wants me to mention it. Let's think about that analogy of grandfather's farm, and that you've heard me teach it enough. You can probably teach it better than me by now. But what if on any given day, the one who owns the farm, what if he went out one day to supervise the work, see what's going on? And, you know, it's a large farm, hundreds and hundreds of acres. But he goes out, and there's a fence around it because it's his property. But he goes out there one day, and he sees another fence inside the perimeter fence. And maybe let's just pick a number. Let's say there's 10 acres. I don't know, 20 acres. Somebody has come in and fenced 20 acres off inside of the entire farm. And he's going, what is this? So he goes over there and starts looking at it, and he finds one of his sons in there sowing. He's plowing, he's already plowed, and he's sowing seed inside that 20-acre fence line. And he's going, well, I'm glad to see that you're sowing on the family farm, but what is this fence? What's the purpose of this? And that son says, well, I got tired of just eating every day at the dinner table. It's time for me to have my own personal profit. And so what I've decided to do now, instead of me sowing and reaping for the business, for the kingdom, or excuse me, for the family business, instead of me working along with my brothers, working on the family business, I've decided to work on my own kingdom, my own business. And from this point on, I'm no longer sowing and reaping for the family, for the kingdom. No, from now on, I'm sowing and reaping for my own personal profit. What do you think grandfather would have thought about that? Boy, that land that you fenced off is my land. Now, you're the heir, you know, you're the inheritor, all right, but this is my land. Let's see, do we have any scripture? See, the earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof, and the people, and they that dwell therein. I didn't look it up, but you can look it up if you want to. The earth is the Lord's. The gold and the silver is mine, saith the Lord. Boy, I remember when he showed me that years ago, and I so had to repent because let's just tell it like it is. Just about every Christian channel that you turn to, they're going to get you having that mindset that you're sowing and reaping is for your own personal profit. And that is just opposite of what Jesus said. It's just the opposite of what Jesus said. No, it's for the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Or, let's say it this way, do your assignment on your father's farm, and at the end of the day, you can eat to the full at the dinner table. All your needs will be met. Okay. Anyway, I didn't hardly have that in the lesson, but hey, my job is not to ignore those things when the Holy Spirit brings them back to my mind. Isn't that something, though? God, I don't want to be a son who's no longer working for the family business, but the rest of my life, I want to fence off my own little portion here, and it's just going to be about me and my forward no more. I'm sowing and reaping for my own personal profit. I still remember the words of Pastor Dave Roberson. Boy, one sentence just set me free forever. He said, when you give, if you have you on your mind, there is no lower kind. Oh, dagger through the heart in a good way. kill that sowing for personal profit. Nope. I hope you heard last week's lesson about harvesting for the Father. This lesson builds on that. Oh, my goodness. See, if you're going to function in the ministry of helps, you have to have a heart that desires to make money so that you can give that money into the kingdom of God, just like they did these in this lesson of stewarding the pound. They didn't use any of it for personal profit. They didn't consider any of it to be their own. It has nothing to do. This kingdom assignment has nothing to do with your personal profit. This is profit for the kingdom of God. But now listen, God watches faithfulness. Did you notice in there that He promoted both of those persons to higher levels? Dave used to say it like this. He says, now, the kingdom of God is like, talking about finances, the kingdom of God is like this giant reservoir of wealth. And if you, but you know, every dam holds the lake behind it, all of this water behind it. But if you're one of the ditches that feeds the water into that lake, did you know every ditch is well watered and very green? God will take care of you, don't you worry. But you've got to make this separation in your mind. We're going to have to speed this up a little if we're going to get this all in today. Okay, I'm going to start this paragraph again. If you're going to function in this ministry of helps, you must have a heart that desires to make money and then give that money into the kingdom of God. It has nothing to do with your personal profit. And see, once that guy who did it wrong, once he found that out, this is not about me and my money and increase for me. I'm not interested in doing it. Well, you're certainly not called to the ministry of helps if that's the heart you have. No, this is for the profit of the kingdom. But God does watch faithfulness. And do notice, God is a good God. You know, He is a rewarder of those that serve Him faithfully. Look at Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe. You've got to believe this. That He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We could go to Luke 15, where He taught on the unjust steward, I believe it is. Might be 16. But where He taught on the unjust steward. But at the end of it, He said, listen, he that's faithful in little is faithful in much. And you notice there was promotion there. He'll promote you to higher things. Okay. If you're going to function in the ministry of helps to be a gospel entrepreneur, you're going to have to begin making a separation in your mind between your own personal provision versus the pound or the money that you steward for the kingdom of God. These are two separate things. One, your provision. In the analogy, what you eat at the dinner table, that's your provision. Number two, the Lord's pound, what you produce in the fields. Two separate things. Go back and look at it again. It's so important. People miss this all the time. Go back and look at it again. the pound? He said, here is thy pound. Notice, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. He didn't eat any of that. This had nothing to do with the dinner table. This has to do with his work in the field. And he's bringing it in to meet the master's needs before he goes and eats dinner. Okay. Seems like Jesus really tried to make it simple. Now, but you got to start making a separation in your mind between your provision and the pound. Your provision simply means the amount of finances you need to live on. I'm going to say a word that's almost a curse word in many households. Budget. What? You're going to have to determine a budget. I'm going to intermingle the terms from this point on. When I say provision, your provision, budget, the amount you need to live on. I am literally amazed at how seldom I meet people who have ever once even made a personal budget. They don't know how much they need to live on. Yet they do have a desire. Many of these people I've met, I think they're truly called to handle wealth for the kingdom of God. But they've never made this separation in their mind between their provision and the pound, a budget of amount you're to live on, separate, completely separate from your labor in the fields to produce wealth for the kingdom. They are two separate things. Now, you can't skip this part. Many people try to. They don't want to sit down and do any work to come up with a budget. But I'll tell you from experience, I've been at this a long time. If you skip this part, you will fail. I'm going to teach on this in a future lesson, maybe even next week. I'm not sure. But not only the word, but my experience of watching over 20, 25 years of this. If you skip this part, you're going to fail because there's going to be an intermingling in your mind. There's never going to be this separation between your provision and the pound. So when you're out there battling, listen, how did Dave say that? He says, if you're going to swim with the sharks, you better spend a lot of time with the dove. Here you pray, 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 and now you're going to go out into the world of mammon where the sharks are, and they make a living. They make a living skinning people's hide when it comes to money. And you're going to go out there and you're going to win. Well, listen, there's a warfare. There's a battle. And I'll tell you right, I'll preview the coming attractions. The number one thing that causes failure in these endeavors to make money for the kingdom is care. The enemy is going to resist you. And if it starts threatening your family, starts threatening your provision, then you're going to start compromising the instructions that the Lord gave you. And care is what makes you devourable. We've taught on all this many times before, so has Pastor Dave. You've got to learn how to... One good way to cast your care upon the Lord in this arena is to make this separation between your provision and your pound. See? It's one thing. If it's totally over here in the arena of your calling and you're out in the fields and you're dealing with that money, that's one fight. But if there's no separation and your money is mingled in, your provision is all mingled in with that, oh, it's going to take the milk money from my babies. Now you've allowed care to penetrate a firewall that there should be a firewall there, a separation between your provision and the Lord's pound. That there's supposed to be a firewall there between those two things, but most people never make a budget, so it's all mingled together. And when the battle comes, the care takes over and they become devourable. And nearly always they compromise what the specific instructions of the Lord. They don't do exactly what he says and they'll lose. And the sharks go away laughing with your money to use for Hollywood or debauchery of some kind. So let me just read this the way I wrote it. How are we doing on time? Oh my goodness. Okay. You cannot skip this part, or you'll most surely fail. Look at how Jesus taught this. Now, Jesus is the one teaching here. All of the money, I keep stressing this, it's in the teaching itself. All of the money, the original pound and all of the increase, went to the master, not you. None of it was to be kept for the people to live on. None of it. This was kingdom money. This is the separation. This was kingdom money, totally separate from what they personally needed to live on. They didn't eat out of this money at all. It's exactly like what Jesus taught in Luke chapter 17. The servants went into the master's fields. There he said plowing or feeding cattle. But in this case, they went into they went out into the field of the world, mammon. They made money. They brought it back and first met all the master's needs. He got all the increase. On the farm analogy, all the harvest is it's a family business. It all goes to the father. But then these servants went and they ate from the dinner table. Praise God. Now, I teach all of this in much greater detail in that 6-part audio series titled Stewarding the Pound. So in between these weekly lessons, I highly recommend you go listen to those. It's in the Kingdom Finances section of the website. Now listen, when it comes to making a budget, there are so many online places you can go that are really good at teaching people how to make a budget. I'm not going to teach that. There's plenty of wonderful information out there how to do it. It's not that hard. But I am going to give you some things that I've learned over these years that'll save you some time. The first time that I ever made a budget, with having all this in mind, we're going back 20 some odd years ago. Boy, I made it strict. We need this to pay the rent. We need this to pay the electric bill. We need this to pay the gas bill. We need this for groceries. How much gas do we use a week? And some of it's approximation, you know, but still. But you do the best you can. I made that first one. I was going to be a good servant, man. How did Kenneth Hagin say that one time? He said, I didn't even leave room in there for a stick of gum. Well, I was just about that bad. I didn't hardly leave room in there for a stick of gum, you know. And I had this budget. This is what we need to live on, Lord. And I came back in prayer and I treat the Lord like he's real, you know. I brought this printed budget and I set it down there. I said, Lord, I'm presenting this to you I want your approval on this or not approval on it. Well, I did not get his approval. I started getting this like a grieving almost in my spirit. It's like, well, do you think this is the kind of master I am? Do you think this, you think I'm stingy? Do you think I want you to just barely get by? No, I will not accept this budget at all. I want you to go back and revise this thing. Put some money in there for discretionary purposes. Put some money in there. Take your wife out once in a while to eat, you rascal. Yeah, he didn't say that. But that's the impression I got. You know, he is not a hard taskmaster. He's really not. So I went back and I had to revise the budget up. And I don't remember now. It's too long ago. But we put in some going out to eat money in there. We put some, take a drive once in a while money. You know, you're going to have to work this out with the Lord. But I adjusted it several times and I would literally print it out, bring it back, set it down. Lord, what about this? We finally came. I had a peace in my spirit on a number. But let me just tell you ahead of time, he's not stingy. He's not stingy. Don't try and... don't get religious. Can I say it that way? Listen, you are his beloved child. He loves you more than anything. He loves you more than his own life. Jesus died for you. So anyway, when you first, you didn't need to make, you got to make a budget. You know what your fixed expenses are. Everybody normally has fixed expenses, you know. If you got a house payment, you know how much that is. If you got a car payment, you know how much that is. So forth, insurance payment, so forth. Then there's, you know, you got to come up with an average kind of on the gas and electricity and that type of thing. But you can come up with a budget. Again, there's all kinds of good sources out there on that. But I want you to know the Lord is generous, not stingy. So that's the first thing I wanted to tell you. Second thing I want to tell you is this. Your budget or your provision amount will change over time. Back in the days when we had children at home, we needed more money. Have you all ever noticed? Children are a blessing. Children are expensive. there was a time when You know, we had children in the home and our expenses were more. Well, later on in life, it's just me and Sue. And then as we get older, we don't eat as much either, even though it seems like what little I eat just stays with me. Walk by a peach and gain a pound, you know. But we over a period, you know, once all the kids are out of the house and everything, well, we actually went to the Lord with a lower budget. We just didn't need that much anymore. See, in America, that's just unheard of, isn't it? What? But there's been other times later, he would give us a different assignment, put us in a different situation. Oh, we're going to need more money. So over the years, I'm telling you, Jesus is alive and well. Did you know he sent you a helper? I hope you listened to the Serving Son messages a few weeks ago, because one of them is talking about the Serving Son's helper. Did you know he has sent you a helper? His name is the Holy Spirit. And one of his names is Counselor. He is your counselor, and he is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's seen you at your best. He's seen you at your worst, and he still loves you. So he'll help you with this. And even you may not particularly distinguish his voice. You may not be there yet. But listen, there's that peace. You know, we're to be led by peace. I remember the first time I presented that budget to him in prayer. I just came in prayer. I'm not saying I heard the Lord say anything. I don't remember that. But it was like, ooh, no. I did not have peace. He was not pleased with that first budget. And he got it across to me. Why? It's because I was approaching him like he's a stingy old tyrant. You know, you're not going to get an extra nickel out of me, boy. You know, he's not like that. He is the best father ever. So anyway, your budget will go up and it will go down at different seasons of your life. When I say budget, I'm talking about your provision, what you need to live on. Okay, one more time, I'm going to stress the importance of making a budget to determine your provision. If you do not make this separation in your mind between your provision and your pound, I can already prophesy your future, and I have, because I've watched it time and time again. When you're out there in the land of mammon causing an increase to the Lord's pound, the enemy is going to come against you. And if it threatens your provision, I've never seen it fail, you will compromise the instructions that the Holy Spirit gave you. Because, oh God, if I really hold to what the Lord said, we're going to die, we're going to die. It's like the disciples in the boat trying to, you know, let us cross over to the other side. What did it look like? We're going to die. We're going to die. And he says, how is it you have no faith? We can't go back and reteach all of that. But please read this teaching that Jesus gives on the pound, stewarding the pound, until it dawns on you. You really get it. This calling to the ministry of helps has nothing to do with your personal profit, with your personal provision at all. You've got to start making a separation in your mind. This is what we live on. This is what we invest with. This is what we do business with. It's two separate things. Because all the increase that's going to come from the pound side is going to go to the Lord, not you anyway. This is your labor in the field. Now, I'll teach at length on this in a future lesson. In fact, I was going to teach on that today, but he wanted to lay this foundation. Please start working on a budget. Please start doing it, even if you've never done it before, even if you make a mistake, even if in that first year or two, I think I had to revise that budget. I don't know how many times, because I wasn't good at it. I would forget things. I went, oh yeah. We got taxes to pay. We've got once a year insurance payment or something, you know, and I got to change my, but you'll get good at it, but you'll never get good at it if you don't start. You'll never get good at it if you don't start. Listen, I mean, it's got about 5 minutes here. The ministry of helps is a calling, no less than the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. It's listed right there with it, helps. It is specifically a calling of God that Jesus himself teaches on. where he'll provide you a starting place, some money to start with. It's a pound. It'll be something, but it's separate from your provision. Please start making that distinction. This is what we... Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. I didn't have this in my notes either. But here's another danger. If you don't separate in your mind this provision from pound, because it can go just the other way. If the enemy can't stop you from making money, then what? Here's the other trap that he gets them into. This starts really working. I mean, really working. And maybe you were living on, I'm just going to pick a no, I'm not even going to pick a number. You were living on a certain amount for years, and all of a sudden you start investing in, with the Lord's pound, and it really starts working. And maybe your income doubles, or your income triples, or your income goes 10 times what you used to make. Isn't that what happened? This pound produced 10 times. Here's the other trap. If you don't make a division in your separation in your mind between what's yours and what's his, your provision, his pound. Oh, well, you know, we've been needing that bigger house. We got all this extra money. I've been wanting a boat. God's not against you having a bigger house. God's not against you having a boat, but this is two separate arenas. And I've seen it again and again, even with good intentions, with people who tell me they'll tell me to my face, yes, Gary, I am a gospel entrepreneur. And they really have that calling. And they start doing it, and the money starts really increasing. But instead of hardly any of it, very little of it, winds up going into the kingdom. Because it's always, well, right after, we need a bigger house. We need a vacation house. We need 2 cars now. We need 3 cars now. Oh, we need this. We need a... But I'm going to do it as soon as... See, if there's no separation, if there's a mingling, your stuff and his stuff, you're not doing it the way Jesus taught it. Whoa, I wasn't going to come quite that strong, but that's the truth. You're not doing it the way Jesus taught it. The ministry of helps makes a distinction. The pound and the increase, whether it's 5 times, 2 times, 10 times, all of it belongs to the master. First you meet the master's needs, then you go eat at the dinner table. Please start working on a budget. Please make this separation so the Lord can bless the work of your hands and the kingdom of God will greatly benefit. Love you so much. See you again next time. Bye-bye.